Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are about to take a Baltimore Positive journey, but before we do that, my wife has been doing the ads. My wife and I have been married 17 years, and she has never done a radio commercial here at WNST until now. This is our home. It's a city packed with culture, creativity, and endless possibility, and 8 pints of Taharka at the greatest discount ever. Use Baltimore Positive for the code. And I love this here. It says lift for ice cream. So we're lifting Baltimore up 1 pint at a time. Make sure you get the sweet potato crumble. Our friends at Fadley's are delivering crab cakes as well throughout the United States of America. That is one click away. And I'm wearing my State Fair shirt today, mainly because Don Mueller doesn't have one because I still fit in the youth extra large. So it's getting a little tight up in here right now, especially after Thanksgiving, Don. At State Fair and our friends at El Guapo, as well as Mueller and Gary Realty. We're signing up a whole bunch of new sponsors here. TradePoint Atlanta is going to be involved with us in 2021. We have some friends over at the Guinness Open Gate Brewery. And, of course, at Franco's. And I'm going to be getting some meatballs out of Catonsville. Don, it's incredible that we're 2 years into this. We birthed the whole, like, Baltimore Positive website. And we're still tracking down people that were on my literal original March of 2019, back when we could, like, get together over at State Fair for chicken and waffles, because I love getting together with this guy.
Well, it doesn't get much better, right? One of the most familiar faces in Baltimore TV for, and it's hard for me to say this now, decades, Jamie. Is that, I mean, who'd have thunk it, man? WMAR anchor, one of the best guys in all of Baltimore media, Jamie Costello, joins us on Baltimore Positive. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, guys. I said, I'm going to Fadley's. Okay, maybe I'm going to the State Fair. Yeah. No, I'll be home
for
Christmas.
Come on, you know. We're
home for Christmas.
We will be home. You won, man. You know. Come on.
I want my, you know, the shrimp that Fadley sells. I used to go in there every weekend back in the day. Every weekend, and I used to get the steam shrimp in the back. Unbelievable.
When did you start at MAR? What year?
1987.
Wow. That's amazing.
1987.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that journey, but when you told your shrimp story, Nestor knows it. What makes me laugh, Congressman John Sarbanes has joined us twice, and he's told us the story twice because it's a great story. He talks about his brother-in-law coming from out of town to visit periodically, and he said before his brother-in-law comes to their house, no matter how long it's been since they've seen him, he makes sure he stops at Fadley's first for crab cakes. I mean, that's the kind of reputation that they have down there at Fadley's, and it's just a wonderful family with Bill and Nancy Devine and their daughter Damien.
By the way, I had the Tennessee media in town a couple weeks ago, right? And I know those guys going back to Jamie. You and I went to games in Tennessee back in the day, right? In the Billick era and all that.
Friendliest people you'd ever on the road. Are they not?
Oh, absolutely, man. It's the best road trip.
Right.
When they throw us out of that division for Cleveland and Cincinnati, I'm like, please, man, we want to go to Nashville every year. But I had the media come up, and they asked me, you know, they're staying downtown, and they were wearing the mask, the whole deal, a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, go over to Fadley's. Man, they text me, and they were, like, so happy. They're like, we didn't know it was there. I'm like, come on, man. It's only been there since, like, the 1800s. So, go ahead, Don, because we're going to go a million directions.
We are going to go all over the place.
Right, that's
I said,
all
we don't
right.
normally we don't normally put a timestamp on this, but I can't have two of, and we don't normally do the sports segments here on Baltimore Positive. But as we go to tape this, as we go to record this, just recently in the rear view mirror is this strange Ravens couple of weeks. Nestor, you've talked it ad nauseum. I posted, and it was interesting last night. A lot of folks posted the same thing. I'm interested and your guys' takes on it. I said, and I actually texted Kevin Byrne last night and Dick Cass when it was over. I said, guys, I like to win as much as the next guy, but I have to tell you, other than the Super Bowl wins, this is as proud as I've ever been of a Baltimore Ravens team. I was blown away by what I saw last night. How about you, Jamie?
I'm going to tell you, Don, I don't know about – I was more intense – my nerves were through the roof watching that game. And I'm going, why am I feeling this way? Right. But that team, it came together last night. I watched a team that is a team that Baltimore would love. That was like Bill Troop being the quarterback.
Right. I mean, there's a name for you, Nestor. Bill Troop.
And it was just an amazing thing. And I'm telling you, Ben Roethlisberger on that third and down when he hit Washington, that just changed the game. I thought, man, if we get the ball back, we win.
He throws a duck up for grabs. And we're assuming, right? My grandkids are jumping off the sofa. My son, we're assuming that's maybe a pick six. And somehow they grab it. I mean, what did it feel like down there in the harbor, Nestor, you and Jen zeroing in?
Well, I mean, I have a whole different take on it. I mean, I'm the journalist in the aftermath watching them not answer questions as to how 20 of their players got it. And so I'm in the aftermath of, I love the effort. I love the second. I loved all of that. But I still think the league has a lot of explaining to do about sending the Denver Broncos out without playing with that.
No doubt. I
have real integrity issues about all of it, and I'm not going to let the Ravens organization run after making me change my time four different times to watch the game. I think they're the only team that's had this kind of outbreak. I think they really need the answer to this because it's greatly affected the season for them, and it's greatly affected the whole way this is going to go down. And I'm worried about the virus in general. So for me, I wouldn't be talking football with you guys today. I'd be talking more about like where we're going into the holidays here when football teams have this going on. And I'm worried about all of us over in the coming weeks with the virus and what we need to be doing to mitigate this.
No.
Andy, I watch you every day, and I you know, the lead story every day right now is the virus, and it seeped into the Ravens world this week.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that, Nestor. Let's have Jamie jump in on that. And I do think the Ravens need to be transparent and talk about how this happened, because you're right, it has not happened to any. While last night was very Raven-esque, the outbreak and the fact that we're the only organization to have had that is the most un-Raven-esque thing to have happened. But let's focus here for a minute, Jamie. Let's talk about you and your career. Can't believe, as you said, it's been since 1987. Not that long ago, you were a proud, overly Falcon. How does what folks, what we like to do here on Baltimore Positive, let folks get a sense of who they are, who these people are that they see all the time in their community. And how does Jamie Costello go from being an overly Falcon to really this award-winning, and we'll talk about your award, but one of the most well-respected and likable people in the media. How did your journey take you from overly to the media?
I owe a lot of people, Don. I owe a lot of people. And I'll tell you, here's an interesting story, Nestor. I started out at Red House Run, and I was shy. I never raised my hand. I never stood in front of the class. I never did any of that. I never volunteered, never did anything. And my fifth grade teacher was Mr. Copenhaver, Dave Copenhaver, big guy, could have played offensive lineman, right? And he said, class, on Friday, we're going to make a speech. You have to stand in front and make a 3-minute speech. Well, I'm going home to my home on Rocky Mount Road, and I'm telling my mother, how do I drop out of fifth grade? Because there's no way I'm going to stand in front of they have never even heard me before. So I went home. My mother said, well, write about something you know. And I said, baseball. So she, okay, well, how do you make a baseball? I can remember this like yesterday, Don. So I read and I took these index cards and I looked in the mirror, and my mother said, you look to the left, you look to the center, you look to the right. Never look them in the eye, just over their heads.
She learned that from Johnny Carson, probably, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm there, I'm practicing in the mirror for a feverish week. Now it's my turn. So Friday comes, and we go in alphabetical order. There were no A's, there were no B's in the class. Costello, I was the first one. So here I come up in front of the class. These kids have never heard me talk before. They don't even know what my voice sounds like. And I start left, center, right, left, center, right. And I finished the thing in like 30 seconds. The whole class just stood up clapping for me. And I never shut up since. I mean, that was it. That was the changing point. I came out of my shell. Mr. Copenhaver made me come out of my shell.
Did you read the morning announcements or anything?
Yes.
See, I knew it. That's what they did to kids like you. When you had good principals like Moeller out there, this is the kind of education we had in America back in the 60s and 70s.
I met Don at Dundalk High School. I came out to do a story with Don O'Connor. Remember?
Absolutely. Don? Oh, very well. Special educator.
Yes, great guy. Great guy. That's when I first met you.
Well, Nestor, what year was that then? So you, Don, this late 80s, about the same time we got together.
Yeah, Nestor was there.
That was it. Yeah, late 80s.
You remember, you wouldn't have known Mr. O'Connor necessarily, Nestor. He was the chair of the special education department, but Jamie came out. And he had taught you, Jamie, or?
No, he lived at the bottom of the hill.
He was a neighbor. He was a neighbor.
I can tell you the first time I met Jamie, because I remember it vividly. Dave Muir was having a birthday party at the bowling alley. Not Govins, right? Is it Govins? Am I right in saying that?
Was it Govins?
No, it was in Stoneley. Stoneley. Yeah. Stoneley, so, I mean, I met alley. You at a bowling alley. I met him at a duck pin bowling alley, Moeller. How about that? Is there anything more Baltimore than that, Jamie Costello?
That's not, no.
Pin
Dave, have you had Dave on yet?
That, you know, it's Cowboys week. Don't please. You know what I mean? Like, and I know, so Dave Muir is a legend here along with Tom Kapp. They were the original WITH huddle that I had back in April of 1992. Jamie, this week it'll be 29 years for me. December 13th, it'll be 29 years on radio. And when I went on radio, I was an intern for Scott Garceau, Keith Mills, Mike Gathigan, and Jim Hawes with Mary Beth Marsden and the great Jamie Costello at 6400 York Road, where I got sent out for pizzas in my Oilers jersey for Garceau every night. So how about that?
That's good stuff.
Jamie,
go ahead.
Jamie, who were, you know, obviously folks point to their parents, and you've alluded to teachers, but In the media world, it seems to me that it's such a cliche, but people always talk about walking in the footsteps or walking, you know, the paths of giants. Who were the people that sort of said to you as a young kid, "Hey, Jamie, I'm going to show you how to do this thing"? Who do the people you remember that reached out and made a difference to you?
Well, I'll get emotional. Jack Bowden was incredible. Andy Barth is probably the greatest guy I've ever met in the business. Lou Davis, Susan White Bowden. I mean, when I came in 87, there was no, you know, give me the lead story. No. I looked around. There were veteran reporters I would never touch on their territory. That's changed a little bit today. But in those days, I mean, we had Joan Gartland and Joyce Jeff. I mean, these were just—
I love when you mention these names, because these were the pictures on the wall. When, you know, in 6400, when you went into the building there, and like that, all of those names, those are people on television to me. To you, they're your mentors, right? Literally.
I mean, well, we just lost Jack Dawson. Jack Dawson was maybe the smartest guy in the newsroom. Hopkins educated, and he used to come and say, "You better spell right." He'd look over a script. He said, "This is all spelled wrong." And I said, "Jack, we're on TV." He goes, "It's going to dribble onto the TV set. One day, doggone if he's not right." I mean it. And he used to come out and he would say, "Mondawmin Mall is not in East Baltimore." You know, we'd say, "East Baltimore, Mondawmin." "No." And he just was very, and you know what? I learned a lot from Jack, even beyond sports, just to be factual, man. Get the easy facts right. You know, where are you? How do you spell it right? How do you pronounce a name right? Jack was an underrated guy. I went back and looked at video, Nestor, when we did Jack when he retired. We had a big party at his house on Thornton Road in Timonium. And then we did something on the set. Vince came. John Stedman was there. Jimmy Mutchler. Johnny. I mean, who comes out for that? That was incredible. It was like a Hall of Fame just coming up. One after the other.
Can I make an admission right now about Jack Dawson?
Yeah.
So I've been doing this 29 years. I started at the paper in 84, so I got 37 years, however long it's been. And I never met Jack Dawson. I never spoke to Jack Dawson. I was rarely in a room with Jack Dawson, but I grew up. I watched more Vince as a kid. My family watched Channel 11. Sure. And every time I see Rudy Miller, I tell her that. I give her, she was my crush. And, you know, so we have fun with that. But, you know, my childhood in media and in watching television, I mean, I knew Vince, and I knew, but I don't know why. I know Bill Burton was another guy at Channel 2 that I worked with at the Evening Sun, who I knew, and I knew Lefty. I knew a lot of people. I don't know why I never knew Jack.
Huh. That's wild.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love hearing these stories from all of you about him because it was a part of my childhood, but I just never had a warm, fuzzy moment. I never had an arm put. I mean, I knew most of the people in Channel 2. I mean, Norm Lewis would spend time with me, teach me weather, like behind the Chiron. It's crazy. I learned stuff, but Jack was a guy who was a mystery to me. So when you give me stories about him, I mean, he's a legendary, like Jerry Turner and Al Sanders. I never met those guys.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, isn't it, Jamie? I get most of that, the tributes from social media, but I was really, really moved by the young journalists who were reacting to the passing of Jack Dawson and the impact. In other words, I thought, wow, there's a legacy there when you see the Rob Langs and the others, the guys that are out there doing the work today, and they're saying, this guy was a giant. You're going, wow, that's pretty special.
We're talking 20-some years ago when we last saw him on television. And for him to be, you know, mentioned like that. Real quick story about Jack. One of those, Scott Garceau told me one night at 11 o'clock, all hell's breaking loose. Tapes are missing. Scripts aren't written, blah, blah, blah. All hell, the newsroom's on fire. And Jack just stood up with his booming voice and said, 11:30 will come. And it was like, oh, that's it. We all calmed down. We got under it.
We'll get it done. Well, let's make sure that, and if they've been living under a rock, that just recently our guest, WMAR anchor, longtime Baltimore media personality, was just honored with literally one of the most prestigious awards that there is to win out there in the media, and that is the Silver Circle Award from the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Jamie, what an honor, and tell us about the moment you found out about the award.
Well, they, my wife surprised me with the Zoom call with my bosses and people I worked with. And I'll be honest with you. We're just talking, the three of us. I'm a 240 hitter going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, when I look at these names, Gordon Peterson, Jim Vance, David Brinkley, come on, man. My name's there. Believe me, it's quite the honor. And I'm very honored that, and I'm just honored because I started off with dreams of trying to play shortstop for the Orioles. And when I couldn't hit a curveball, I decided I have to get on the field at Memorial Stadium somehow, some way.
I did the same thing.
Isn't that something?
All three of us, I think. It's the famous Brian Sears moment when he's interviewing me out in the county courthouse. And there was a discussion whether I was actually going to run for office after Jim Smith or not. And he said, come on, what do you really want to do? And Jamie, I gave him the exact answer. I said, well, what I really wanted to do was play shortstop for the Orioles. But when I realized I couldn't hit a slider and I ran like my grandfather, I had to find something else.
Hey, listen. When your last name's Aparicio and you realize you can't be a shortstop for the Orioles, right? It's a whole different, you know, set of circumstances, Jamie.
You got to have a glove.
Yeah, well, congratulations, Jamie. Great, great, great honor.
Hey, oh, that's very nice.
Jamie, take us behind the scenes. For folks listening in their cars or sitting at home and they've got their computer and they're watching this, walk us through the creation of a daily 5, 6, and 11 newscast. What does your day look like and how does it all come together? Educate us a little bit.
Well, it's a 24-hour cycle, so somebody's there all the time, and, you know, it starts off, oh, man, I don't even know where to start the cycle. All right, I'll just start with me. I'll go in. It all depends. Some days I'll be working from home because of COVID, and that would never have happened. We couldn't do that 5 years ago. You know, that's what? And now the ingenuity, the brilliance of the engineers, they've set up shop, and I have a right downstairs. I have my camera ready to go, and you know, if they say you got to stay home today or whatever. But I usually leave my house here in Annapolis around 2, I make it up to Baltimore at maybe 3. And then you go in, you look at what we've done. And what happens during the day is that reporters will go out and they'll go with a photographer and they'll do a story. They'll bring it, they'll edit it, and then they'll feed it.
Hey, Jamie, before you go on, and I apologize, it's a bad habit we have of interrupting, but do you, as the anchor and the sort of the senior statesman there, do you have any input on the daily stories before you get there? Or is that all news director assignment editors?
Well, there's some. I'll call ahead and say, hey, we need to do this, or we need to cover this, or we, you know. And so that's – and luckily they respect and they say, okay, yeah. I'm trying to think of one. Like, I went off for a minute and 30 on Vince Bagley's passing. Nobody knew Vince at the station. I mean, you know, but he worked at BAL. I said, let me tell you something. This guy was more than that. So they let me go. So I appreciate that. But
so does your audience, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so
how does Jamie Costello, Baltimore boy, sports fan, anybody knows you, not talk about Vince, right?
No, you got to. And the nicest thing I got was Jim Henneman gave me a text and said, damn, that's all he said. And I went, Jim, I mean, Nestor, growing up in this town, Don, growing up in this town, to be able to tell the stories about the people you grew up with is the greatest honor. And to this day, we understand what it's like for Aldo's in Little Italy to close up and not offer curbside, or James Joyce to close up. We understand what it's like to open up a business in this climate that we're in. So you have to be very, I have always thought people first. It is people who start things, people who help other people. Those are the stories people want to see. They want to see about themselves. I just did a story yesterday, simple story, on crab baskets, how people decorate a crab baskets and they stacked them up to be a Christmas tree in Kent Narrows. So Nestor, I'm walking down there and a woman goes, that's my basket. My family's been here since 1638. I said, do you have pictures of Lord Baltimore? I mean, it was crazy. I've never met somebody that deep into Maryland.
Is your last name Calvert?
There's a Calvert in the, yeah. It's
See, I knew that.
Yeah, there's a Calvert in the family. There's a cousin Calvert.
Jamie Costello is our guest, WMAR legend and a big award winner around here. And, you know, my wife watches you guys, and I would just say this. We watch across the spectrum of news and the commercials and the topics and all the things that go on. You guys really do things a little differently. I mean, it's, you know, it wouldn't be anchor for anchor or Chiron for Chiron, but there is a discernible difference from the way 45 presents things, 11 presents things, 13 presents things, and two. There is a probably as different as the personality between me and 105.7 at this point, right? There is a different way that things are presented, and you know, I think MAR has its own niche in a different kind of way, and I think you're a big part of that, sitting in the middle of it.
Well, that's nice. I mean, but it's funny because sometimes, you know, we're all script. We go off at 6:30 every night. That's it, 6:30. We don't go off at 6:31. All the stories are in there. And I'll go off on some story. I'll remember, like Don Moeller as Baltimore County, said, you know what? I remember Don when he was, you know, this high. And the producers really are in my ear screaming, shut up. Shut up. You got to move on.
Leave Costello alone. Let Jamie be Jamie. Yeah.
Let Jamie be Jamie.
Free
Jamie,
Costello.
I like Nestor's question leading me to this because, again, I've always said to folks, and I tell them straight, you know, when – And again, we're not talking about the current inhabitant of the White House. That'll be gone in a few days. But I've always said to folks, this whole idea that the media is the enemy of the people, I've said, guys, I've worked with the media now for 30 years. They're men and women like us trying to go to work, do a job, feed their families. They're not the enemy. And most of them, it's like any other profession, or there are a few knuckleheads, of course, but most of them are decent guys and women. But in the middle of that, Jamie, I'm always struck by there's this ratings pressure, and Nestor certainly dealt with it for years on the radio side, that you all, you know, you wait until the next ratings book comes out and you look and you see who's leading at noon and who's leading at six. And so talk about the pressure of the quote unquote ratings book and how that impacts what you're trying to do every day.
Well, if you're, you know, there are two ways to look at it, Don. Either you look at the numbers, you're going after that, or you look at the audience and you go after the audience. So if you're serving the audience correctly, your numbers will be there. Don't work to the numbers. Don't work to the 18 to 22 year old little, you know, don't. I just think you have to be broad. If you tell a damn good story, people are going to watch. Just keep telling good stories and people will be there, the eyeballs. Now, the ratings, I think, have changed a little bit, and I try to stay so far away from them, but the ratings have changed a little bit. Now they have the overnight ratings, so it's like instant ratings. So we don't have to wait till May, and it used to be February, May, and November were the big sweet months. Well, now it's every day. And you know what? I like that. Just don't, you know, show your jets in May and November. Show them what you're like on July the 2nd. I mean, just tell stories every single day and people will be tuning in to watch.
Is there pressure, Jamie, from above when you're at a station? Is there a pressure from above to say, look, we've got to get these numbers up? Or
oh, there's always that. Yeah. Even when you're number one, there's always pressure. Now you're number one, you got to stay number one. You're number four, you got to make it to three. You're number three. Yeah, there's always pressure, but it's the pressure. It's something that in television, you got to stay with an idea. You got to stay with a conviction. You can't keep changing it every 2 minutes. You got to stay. Okay. These are the stories we're going to go for. Now, next month, we're going to go over it. No, you got to stay with the people have to know what they're tuning into every night. And if they get, I don't know what's going on here, then they're not going to stay with you.
Jamie, one of the things about doing the Baltimore Positive thing here 2 years ago, and I think this is going to be something moving forward, and, you know, we say we don't delve into Trump, but, you know, it's a big part of our life when he's releasing 46-minute, you know, propaganda videos in the middle of the football game on Wednesday. So, you know, all of this that plays into this, but, man, that thing that happened over at your place a couple of years ago, and the thing that happened down in Annapolis a couple of years ago, yeah. And, you know, me working in, and I've had death threats. I mean, you know, the amount of email I've had over years, just being a crazy sports guy, people that for 20 years have sent me hate mail again and again and again. And to have this Stoke from Pennsylvania Avenue after you had a real incident, and I had a real incident because you had a real incident, right? And because we know these, it is connected to all of us, and I watched that play out. Yeah. I just think that moving forward, what we do as journalists is seek truth. And Don is always beaten on the – every journalist I know, 99.9% of you, because we're trained to seek truth. And I think there is something about that that's going to be over the next presidency for younger people seeking truth in what they trust, you know? And you've earned that over all these years when you sit there that, you know, Jamie's not going to BS me, and I hope that I've earned that. And I know Don's earned that reputation. That part of that is the trust of that audience that's out there. That's why they're there. They're there because they trust you.
Yeah, I was during this administration. I'm looking at my phone now. I saved some of the brilliant text messages about coverage of the president, and I saved them because they're vicious, and I've never ever ever seen anything like this before. And I've looked up some of these people and their bots. You know, they don't even live here. There was one lady that yelled at me for not calling Trump, President Trump, just saying Trump. And I looked at my script and I said, we didn't even have a story on Trump. Now it was 7:40 at night. And I text her back and I said, are you watching me right now? She said, I certainly am. I said, ma'am, we're not even on the air. So they're just throwing stuff out there. And it's just, look, we do lost dogs and cancer patients. Why are we being lumped into that you hate the people?
It's really disheartening. And to move beyond the disheartening to something much more positive, Jamie, anybody that follows you knows that your life has been changed because you're now a dad and Gio, and you light up when you talk about how your life has changed being a dad, because it certainly comes through in everything you communicate.
It's funny. It's like, it's unbelievable. He's going to be 4 in May. We got another one on the way coming up in February. So we're like,
I saw the big announcement. I'm Facebook friends with you, man.
How about that? It was like somebody didn't wear a mask. But it is incredible. This time around, it's like you take a breath. You know how it is. I mean, you just take a breath and everything, every little thing they do is what you remember now. You're the sponge instead of them being the sponge, because you remember everything. And it's funny, when I coached before, I've called my coaches and they're all grandfathers now.
Right.
And
I said, we're all guys.
You're all coming back to coach Gio. So one day, and this is going to be great. So one day when he reaches the chance to play Little League, I'm going to bring all my coaches back. We'll be like Connie Mack out there on the sidelines.
Is Gio going to be the shortstop for the Orioles?
I hope so, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Well, that just makes the Kolarik story so crazy, right?
Well, and a great and a great family. I mean, as Nestor knows, we've had Adam's dad on, Frank, but Adam and my grandson Jake have developed this sort of special relationship.
Oh, that's great.
And you know, my grandson has a sweatshirt that Adam actually wore in the dugout. I don't think he takes it off. And of course, he's a Catonsville High kid, so it's.
I thought his name was 56.
Right, it's a great, great, great story. Hey, Jamie, before we let you run, you cover Baltimore every night, and it's not even a criticism that I have of the stations, because you all have to, as Nestor said, you have to tell the truth. But very often, we start coverage every night about Baltimore with something that's not positive. And today it would be COVID, but it also would be the violence in the city, and it's certainly been the corruption of past mayors. As someone who's covered the city for decades, we like to ask folks who join us, where are you now in terms of your emotions and Baltimore City? Are you positive looking forward? Are you hopeful? Or are you at that point where you're really worried? Or all of the above?
I think it's, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It's all of the above. And, you know, years ago, I kind of got a little ticked off when I heard that if you don't live in Baltimore, you shouldn't criticize it. And I thought, wait a minute, you want us to be helping you out. You want our input. You want us to cross the line and help Baltimore City out. We will never turn our back on Baltimore City. We'll never turn our back on Baltimore. And I hope Brandon will lead this place, get this damn crime under control, and I think we'll be all right. If you get the crime under control, if you improve the schools, get the jobs out there. Look, I'm talking to you. You know. Don, you know. Look what you did in Baltimore County. You just lead. Be a leader. Lead, and good things will happen.
Well, when we put together Baltimore Positive, Don and I did this in his atrium back, I think it was January, February, almost 2 years ago now. You were on the original list. And, you know, between you and Alvarez, I still got to go back to that list because there's still like 5 or 10 people. One of them, by the way,
John
Jamie,
Waters.
Is
– I know you want – John Waters.
John Waters is on the list.
We're trying.
I'm doing that, and I've learned Gina Shock from the Go-Go's is another one that I have to get on as well. So
that's great.
There's a couple, you know, she's from Dundalk. So, but Jamie, you know, congratulations and
great
seeing
stuff.
The family and seeing the love, and you know, and you and I cross paths in so many ways. Whether it's, I mean, I think about these press boxes I've been in football games and baseball games and places we've been and conversations and meals we've had together. But the one thing that the last time that I remember special time with you and your wife was with the animals and what we did for Be More Humane.
Yeah.
And, you know, my friend Kate Pike is out there now, Chris Pika, his wife, and Tarka Ice Cream. I shipped them some I shipped them some Mintflix and Chills the other day. But, you know, just the association to the community that we just run into each other in places, and that's really what Baltimore's all about. And that's something that should really be savored by all of us now that I don't run into you anymore because of this damn virus, right? So getting a grip on this virus is all about how we get together for opening day again and see each other at a Preakness again or see each other at a great gathering in the summer to honor someone. We need to get through this virus together.
Yes, sir. You know, real quick, Don, getting back to Adam Kolarik, I didn't know this, but Frank was roommates with George Thomas at Maryland. And George and I grew up in Rosedale. George's younger brother, Dave, runs the Port of Baltimore. I said, you've got the most important job. And I said, Georgie. And George's father used to be the usher at 10:30 Mass at St. Clement's. And George used to throw batting practice.
Small Baltimore, man.
So Dave's going through the airport. Here comes Brooks. Brooks comes up. Dave comes up, Mr. Robinson, my name's Dave Thomas. I don't know if you remember my father, George. Oh, my God, George used to throw batting practice with us every Sunday. I can go on and on. That's
well, you know, Frank has one of the great, great charities. He's been on our show, League of Dreams, where they create all these competitive opportunities for special needs children. It's just a real effort of love. And as I said, the Kolarik, they don't come any better than the Kolarik family. And we're glad Adam has a ring. Nestor, take us out of here.
Well, Jamie, I would say when you're telling all those stories about how East is connected to West, and you could probably sing the Mount St. Joe fight song before it's all over, I was going to say the best part of Baltimore Positive is you don't have anybody bleeding down your ear telling you, don't tell that story about Kolarik's fight. Come on. Just get to the weather. We got to get to the sports.
Right.
Jamie, love having you on. Love our friendship and appreciate it. Keep speaking the truth out there. And there will come a point where we'll all get together and have a beer at a ball game soon.
There we go.
You're on.
Thanks. Tell
Costello.
Cheryl we said hi.
I will. I appreciate it, you guys. Keep it up. Nobody's doing this, so keep it up.
We will. Thank keep you, Jamie.
Up. Well, we're doing
it. Thank you.
And,
we'll see
and
you
you're
guys.
Doing it, too. We'll see you soon. Jamie Costello joining us here from WMAR2. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County executive, joining us as well. Got to remind everybody, nothing more Baltimore positive says made in Baltimore right here on the box than our friends at Taharka and the wheels in the bus. I learned this week that this actual ice cream scoop truck is not what delivers the pint. So don't look for this. I had to learn that the hard way this week. But the box comes. It's an 8-pack. It is a $56 box, and we're going to deliver it $15.70 off, $40.30. Use the Baltimore Positive code. And whatever you do, and this is for Jamie, for Don, for everybody, sweet potato crumble. Add that to the order. Thank me later. Hashtag me, at me. Do whatever you need to do. I am Nestor. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com finds us. We have put the WNST.net box together with the Baltimore Positive box all into one place. We are WNST.net AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.